Armed Forces Radio Service, the voice of information and education, presents Pearl of the Orient.
You know, it's amazing how a man can go through school with his ears wide open and enjoy the best educational opportunities in the world and still learn so little. I thought I was normal all my life and that I learned as much as anyone else in school, but suddenly one day I woke up to the fact that I'd gone through grammar school and high school and missed so much of the history with which our country is enriched. I spent 3 years in Europe during the war and was finally transferred to the Philippines after the war was over. Going over on the plane from Pearl to Manila to report, I run into this professor.
You know, Sergeant, I'm impressed by your curiosity.
How's that, sir?
You want to know things about the countries, customs, people, and history. You see, curiosity brings knowledge, and knowledge well handled produces progress. And progress is the one thing that is needed all over this war-ravaged world.
You mean I like to ask questions?
That's it, exactly.
Well, it certainly helps when you seem to know all the answers.
Well, the answers, as you put it, won't do the Philippines any good unless a lot more of you soldiers know about them. Now, you, as a representative of these soldiers, can help a lot by helping to educate them about the Philippines. You've never been to the Philippines, have you?
No, this is my first trip. But I learned about them in school. I remember there used to be a picture of Teddy Roosevelt and the Rough Riders on the wall in history class.
But that happened in Cuba.
Huh?
Oh, there were two parts of the war with Spain. One in Cuba and the other here in the Philippines.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Spain owned both of them, didn't she? Oh, sure, I remember now. Admiral Dewey. Give them both barrels, Sergeant.
Well, not quite, no. The Admiral wasn't talking to a sergeant.
Okay, I'm hooked again. How about starting at the beginning and giving me the works? We have 3 hours before we get in, and I have some questions.
You may fire when ready, Sergeant.
Okay. Well, first, who discovered the place?
Oh, the Chinese were trading with the Philippines before the discovery of America. But if you mean who was the first Westerner to discover the Philippines, well, now let me go back. Because the entire story will give you an insight into the turbulent history of the islands and may shed some light on the situation of the Filipino people today. It is the year 1493. The place is Rome. And in a side room of the Pope's quarters, two statesmen, one representing Portugal and the other Spain, are waiting.
Pope Alexander will decide wisely, and in our favor, you can be sure of that. Portugal has every right to the privileges of exploration. We were first on the seas.
Simply because you Portuguese were the first to trade with India does not mean that you must have the exclusive right to the sea routes around the Cape of Good Hope. There are other countries in this world besides Portugal.
The courage and blood of Portuguese sailors was not shed for the Spanish king to enrich himself.
Spain will not stand idly by while Portugal ensnares the earth.
Sir, your attitude is...
Your Holiness.
Your voices carry far, my sons. Down the long corridor where the cardinals sit.
I beg your forgiveness.
Come now. I do believe there is no need for temples to be so high. I have given long thought to the problem, and the solution seems to be at hand. Here, look carefully at this map on the wall. So, if a line is drawn thus, in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, then Spain will have the claim to all lands discovered west of that line, and Portugal to the lands east of that line.
But sir... To the west, there is nothing but the end of the world.
Do you forget, sir, that your Columbus says the world is round and that he has just returned from a voyage to the Indies by sailing westward?
Columbus is a liar.
The men of his crew have sworn they sailed into the west. This is my decision as it shows on the map. Return now to your kings and advise them. God go with you, my sons.
The Portuguese believed in a monopoly, didn't they? First come, first serve.
Well, it was their insistence on a monopoly of the eastward route to the Indies that made them very sorry after a time. Pope Alexander's suggestion was taken, but in 1519, King Charles I of Spain received a visit from a well-known Portuguese explorer.
Yes, I have heard of you, Fernando Magellan. The King of Portugal should be proud to have you in his service. Your voyages to the Indies have brought him a great deal of wealth.
Thank you, sire. Now I offer myself in your service. Portugal insists upon looking eastward, and the king will not give me permission to sail to the west.
Spain alone has the right to the west.
Yes, but there have been exceptions. I want to sail around the world. Columbus has proved the world is round, and there must be lands beyond the Americas, which I can explore and claim for you, sire.
Well said, Magellan. You will sail under my colors. The flag of Spain will be planted to the far corners of the earth.
Pigafetta, have the flags brought forward above the beach to where the trees are.
Yes, sir, immediately. This way, men.
Now, in the name of His Majesty, Charles I of Spain, I take possession of these lands upon which I bestow the name of San Lazaro Island.
San Lazaro? But I thought Magellan discovered the Philippines.
Well, San Lazaro was the original name, Sergeant. It wasn't until Villalobos, a Spanish explorer, arrived that he named the islands Filipinas. That was in 1543. Then, in 1565, Don Miguel de Legazpi, who had made quite a reputation for himself in Mexico because of his reliance on peaceful words instead of the sword, established a settlement on the island of Cebu.
Don Miguel, I have come to report.
Your mission was successful, Urdaneta?
Reasonably so. I have obtained valuable information on the peoples here. Most of them are heathen, some are Mohammedans. I should say they are friendly. There is evidence that they like music. In one village, I saw a large crowd witnessing a fight between two chickens whose legs had been fitted out with sharp knives.
But gold! Is there much gold here, as we have been informed?
Oh, yes. Yes, it is the principal trade product.
I suppose that sanitation does not exist.
It is unknown, my son. It appears that each tribe makes its own laws. There is no real government, and they fight among themselves. If we bring them education and religion, I'm convinced they will become our staunch friends.
If only those at home would come to realize that the profits of colonization will be much greater if peaceful and tolerant means are used with the natives. As long as I am here, such will be our methods. But what will happen when we die? We can only hope...
Don Miguel! Don Miguel!
What is it?
Oh, a good omen, sir. One of the men has just found an image of the Christ child. It is the same one which Magellan was reported to have given the Queen of Cebu.
Are you certain?
Oh, of course, sir. Will you come and see?
Immediately. And... Urdaneta, you are a priest. What do you say?
If it is so, then we will build a shrine for it, and it will become the first Christian church in the Philippines.
This Don Miguel seemed like a good Joe.
Well, compared to the Spaniards who came later, he was. Eventually, he established Manila as capital and laid out the plans for the city. There were the fort, government house, church, monastery, and 150 houses. The Legazpi inspired the loyalty and confidence of the natives, and through the priests brought them the arts and sciences of the Western world.
Well, when did the Chinese get in the picture?
Oh, that happened this way. It was about 1575 when word came to the Spanish governor that...
But why the excitement, Jose? Stop waving your hands and sit down.
You should know that.
But I do know. Oh, someday you will die of apoplexy over news which is common knowledge.
But the Chinese...
I invited them here, secretly. I didn't even tell you, Jose. Now the first ship full of Chinese coolies is in the harbor, and you want to know if they will be allowed to come on shore. Naturally.
You are the governor of the islands, but we are old friends, so I can speak frankly. You know how it is with the few Chinese who have come here so far. They do not take their women with them because they desire to make their fortunes and go back to China.
Granted. They are ambitious. It is no crime.
How can you talk like that? These coolies on the ship, before you know it, they will be owning land and plantations. They will not remain as mere laborers, you know that.
But before they become merchants and landowners, they are good workers and mechanics. Have you seen their carvings and furniture, Jose? They are beautiful. They will teach their crafts to the natives, and We will be better off for it.
But the land...
When the time comes, my dear Jose, we need only to point out to the natives how they are losing the opportunity to become rich, because the Chinese are not giving them the chance. Do you see now? Let the Chinese develop the resources of the country for us. Help them all you can. And when the time comes, we will have the fruit of their labors, and they, well, they will either return to China peacefully or spend their time in the islands under a few feet of earth.
Talk about raw deals. The Chinese really got it, didn't they?
Oh, no doubt about it. But even under the Spaniards, the Chinese had a long stay. They intermarried with the Filipinos and introduced their art and culture to the Philippines for the first time in history.
Let's see, that was around 1600, wasn't it?
Well, to be exact, it was 1575. And about then, Spain was herself at war with England. In 1762, the English took Manila from the Spanish, but finally withdrew. But as a result of the war, Spain was forced to loosen its control over commerce in the island so that every nation could share its trade. The Spaniards began having trouble with the rebellious Moros, and for many years, sporadic and bitter fighting continued. But despite the bloodshed, Spain did make progress in the Philippines. Now, that progress can be defined in several fields.
The many tribes were welded together, and although they did not adopt one language, they did become fairly devout Christians.
French explorer La Perouse told the world that the Filipinos were in no way inferior to the people of Europe.
Dr. John Crawford, who visited the Philippines in 1820, said he was surprised that although the islands were dominated by Spain, regarded as a backward European country, the civilization, wealth, and populousness of the people was amazingly well developed.
To Spain belongs the glory of having raised to a relatively high grade of civilization a people which she found on a lower stage of culture, distracted by petty wars and despotic
rule. And Jaeger, a German traveler in 1860, predicted that in time, American influence would make itself felt and eventually become dominant in the Philippine Islands. He said, as conquerors of the modern age, as representatives of materialism in place of the romanticism of the Spanish cavaliers, the American pioneers pursue their course, wielding the axe and guiding the plow. A contrast to the Spanish method of colonizing, the outstanding features of which were raising the cross and thrusting with the sword.
By the middle of the 19th century, things were becoming hot for the Spaniards on the island. They had the Moros on their hands. But more than that, there was a rising movement for self-government. The Filipinos had come in contact with other peoples and resented the high-handed methods of their Spanish rulers. There were rebellions and subsequent executions. Blood flowed in copious quantities. Perhaps the most important revolutionary was Dr. Jose Rizal. He was to the Filipinos what George Washington is to us. Jose Rizal was a brilliant man, a fact which his friends knew and posted about.
A letter from Jose! A letter from Jose! Here in my hand. It comes to me, his friend, since we are children together. See, there is my name. Hey, what do you say about that, huh?
I know him too, Manuel. All of us know him.
But does he write to you, huh?
Read what is in the letter. Is he coming back at last? Where is he now, Germany or France?
How can I read if you make so much noise? Besides, come closer, or the Spaniards will know what something is happening. Then you know what will happen. Now, I will sit here and tell you what Jose says. And you do not stand there, but make believe you are resting from the heat. Quickly, see, what did I tell you? One of their soldiers is coming.
You, why are you gathering?
Senor, it is hot and the shade from this tree is cool. Oh, it must be bad for you with that hot suit you must wear and the gun you must carry.
Oh, see, such weather.
Yes.
All right, I will go. But remember, no trouble.
Oh, no, senor. Listen closely, friend. Jose is coming home. He says he's been away too long, that there is work to be done here, and now he feels that he is ready to do it. Also, he can now speak the German language. Hear that? Now Jose can speak Spanish, French, German, Japanese, English, Greek, Hebrew. Who knows what else? Oh, these Spaniards had better watch out when Jose comes back. And I, Manuel, he writes to me. Do you hear that? A genius writes to me. Oh, that makes me pretty smart, no?
It is good to be in Manila again.
I've waited for you, Jose, but it's a very dangerous time. Ramon Blanco is governor general.
And it would give him great pleasure to see you dead.
Then we will not give him an excuse.
He already has one.
But I have just arrived.
While you were on the ship, the Katipunan said you were their president.
But I hardly know them except for Andres Bonifacio. It is absurd. I'm not even a member of the Katipunan, much less their president. Anyway, I don't believe in violence.
I know.
They want to get rid of the Spanish priests, confiscate their estates, and be completely independent. I believe we can prosper under Spain, but it must be done with education of the people. We must make of them a political force, not a group of murderers.
But understand, Jose, the Governor General does not care for the truth. If you are not careful, there will be a knock on the door. Maybe not even a knock. The next thing you know, you will be in a dungeon.
I believe you are right, Manuel. But my book, I must publish my book.
That can be done. What is it called?
When I showed it to the Americans in Europe, they said it was like their own Uncle Tom's Cabin. I call it Noli Me Tangere.
Touch me not, eh? The Governor General will surely try to stop it from being read.
Manuel, that is what I hope he does. But it will be read more thoroughly and gain greater circulation than if it were to be shown in all of the shops.
Oh.
You will see.
We have come for a loaf of bread.
What then?
The hard crust and paper filling.
Good. The book is inside the bread. Pass it on when you are finished.
Here is the second chapter. By the time you have finished with it, I will have the next one.
Is it true that the soldiers have destroyed the printing press?
Yes.
Then I will copy each word of this chapter by hand and the others too. Rezel's book would live in spite of them.
Where is Rezel? Answer me or I'll stand all of you up against the wall.
But we have never seen him.
Search the house. He was here, I know it.
Senor Rizal, I have waited 4 years for this moment. You, the Governor General, have found me guilty before I even entered this room. This is no trial, but an inquisition.
If you can protest your innocence with such blandness now, why didn't you surrender a long time ago? You knew we were searching for you.
Simply because I knew I could expect no real justice here.
You talk of justice, yet you are president of the Katipunan. Your organization seeks to overthrow this government by force.
I have no connection whatsoever with the Katipunan. Why don't you bring in some of their members and question them?
It isn't necessary. Your leadership is well established.
Then allow me to call my own witnesses. Or is the Spanish Empire quaking because of one man?
Impertinence will not help you.
When will you learn that the people are entitled to a voice in the government? This is not the Dark Ages. The government exists because of the people, not the people for the government. All the bloodshed of the past several years has been wholly unnecessary. We Filipinos can get along with Spain, but we will not be kicked and smothered into submission. As human beings, we deserve our hand in the shaping of our destiny. The world is seeing this truth, and if Spain does not realize it, the days of its glories are numbered.
Are you finished, rebel?
You can pronounce this sentence. It is death, is it not?
Death.
Rezal was executed, but the anniversary of his death was later made a day of observance by the American administration. And his picture appeared on the postage stamp most commonly used in the islands. He was the voice of independence.
I see, that ought to bring us pretty close to when the U.S. got involved in the Philippines.
Why, yes, it was, in February of 1898, when the battleship Maine blew up in Havana Harbor. On April 25, 1898, at Mirs Bay near Hong Kong, Commodore Dewey received a message.
Hello?
Hey, Sparks, you look like you just saw a ghost. Important message.
Get out of my way, will you? I gotta find the Commodore.
Sure.
For you, sir, from the Navy Department.
War has commenced between the United States and Spain. Proceed at once to Philippine Islands. Commence operations at once, particularly against Spanish fleet. You must capture vessels or destroy. Use utmost endeavors. Signed, John D. Long, Secretary of the Navy. Tell the Secretary we will carry out the orders.
Manila, straight ahead, sir.
Full speed ahead.
It's getting dark, sir, and they say the waters of the bay are mine.
Our objective is not Manila, but Cavite, where the Spanish squadrons are. We'll circle Manila Bay and come into Cavite.
But the mines, sir, and the land...
It will be dark, Lieutenant. As for the mines, forget them. Make believe they aren't there. Now signal the squadron to form a column and follow us through. They couldn't hit us when we were close by. They're wasting their ammunition when we're out of range. Full speed for Cavite.
Cavite, sir.
Look through the glass. This entire Spanish fleet sitting there like ducks.
The fog is lifting quickly. When are we going to action, sir?
What time is it?
0537.
Commence firing at 0540.
Aye, aye, sir.
Signal full speed. I want to get in close, so there's no chance of missing them.
O-5-39-30.
Here's Lieutenant, that we're the only ones who are firing.
The fleet is quiet, sir, but their shore batteries are still in action. And hardly accurate.
Cease firing. Spanish colors are being called out on shore. Yes, a white flag is going up. Lieutenant, inform the radio operator to send this message. The order to capture or destroy the Spanish squadron has been executed to the letter. Signed, Dewey.
Kept saying Commodore Dewey, Professor. I thought he was an admiral.
Oh, he received that promotion after the victory, and what a victory it was. There were no Americans killed and only 7 men slightly wounded.
And so that's how we came to be in the Philippines?
Just about. Of course, it took about 6 weeks for Army troops to get to Manila and begin operations against the land forces, but Dewey's victory clearly stole the show. Yet his greatest triumph came as a diplomat just after the naval action. Dewey was in his office in Manila when...
Come in.
Sir,
back so soon, eh? Well, sit down. Cool drink?
Sir, I'm afraid
easy. Your news will wait another minute, won't it? I can tell it isn't good news, and that's all the more reason for delaying it a moment.
It's common gossip in the town, sir, why the Germans have sent such a large fleet. Another of their cruisers, the Kaiser and Augusta, just tied up.
No doubt. They say the Germans will insist on a naval station in the islands.
Well, that's it, sir. Admiral von Diedrich should be here by now.
Well... Don't let von Dieterich's loud voice upset you, Lieutenant. He's like the Spanish guns. Lots of noise and no hits. Don't worry, Lieutenant. We'll continue to blockade Manila Bay. The Philippine insurgents under General Aguinaldo prevent the Spanish land forces from leaving the city by land. And we'll keep them from escaping by sea. By the laws of war, I have the right of Blockerix had better recognize that.
And I tell you, once again, I am here by the order of my Kaiser, sir.
And I through the wishes of the people of the United States.
I consider that I am free to come and go as I please.
You forget, sir, that we are at war. It would be unfortunate should any of your ships get in the way of, shall we say, a stray shell or two.
Are you threatening me, sir? Remember that you're outnumbered.
Admiral, there are also two British warships here, in addition to a French and Japanese cruiser. They have acknowledged my right of blockade.
They are weaklings.
Your boats have been taking soundings off the mouth of the Pasig River. Your men have been seen drilling at Maravillas Harbor. Your cruiser Irene even visited the Spanish garrison at Subic Bay and interfered with the Filipino insurgent operations there. Sir, if you are inviting a war...
If I am, do you think your exhausted fleet will remain afloat for long?
Sir, my fleet is ready to fight. We destroyed the Spanish fleet without losing a man. We have also replenished our ammunition.
Oh, you cannot fool me. You have no more shells.
So that is it. Lieutenant!
Yes, sir?
Pass the word to fire a salute of 21 guns in honor of our victory.
Aye, aye, sir.
But there, my information, they said your stores were exhausted.
You can't believe everything you hear, Admiral.
Perhaps there has been a mistake. Naturally, if the English and the others have recognized your right to blockade Manila, so will the Kaiser.
That is nice of you.
Good day, Admiral.
Good day.
Sir, I don't...
Just a bluff, Lieutenant. By the way, how many rounds does the fleet have?
Enough to fire once.
That's about one more than I thought. If the German only knew.
You know, Professor, I don't believe I ever heard any of this in history class.
Yes, it seems that many of these facts have a habit of not appearing there at all.
Fasten your belts, please. Fasten your belts.
Oh, so soon? Just when I was really catching up on my history lessons. Say, how does the Philippine story end, anyway?
Oh, briefly, when the American troops arrived from home, General Arthur MacArthur was appointed Provost Marshal General and civil governor of the city.
Oh, was that the father of Douglas MacArthur?
Oh, yes. And the rest of the story is current history. Why, you know now that we granted the Philippines their independence on July 4, 1946. Their job is not easy. The Philippines have a long, tough fight ahead to make their country strong again.
I guess so.
Well, Sergeant, we're nearly in, so we won't have time for any more. But if you should have any trouble convincing any of your buddies, just call me at the university and I'll take you around the city and give you some more ammunition.
Well, with the things you have told me, I should be able to talk for weeks. But if I do have any trouble, I'll be sure to call you. I begin to see now why they call these islands the Pearl of the Orient.
The Orient was written by Steve Allen and adapted and produced by James W. Taub. In the cast were Dawes Butler, Howard Culver, Don Diamond, Eddie Fields, Jerry Lauren, Clayton Post, Gil Sumner, and Bob Young. This is the United States Armed Forces Radio Service, the voice of information and education.